How does astrology fit into this devastating earthquake? Up next, Mark Lerner joins us. Then later on this hour, we'll take your phone calls with him right here on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Mark Lerner went to the school where my two sisters graduated from, Michigan State University. He had honors with a BA in social science. His book, Welcome to Planet Earth, received thousands of astrological students and professionals around the world, and it did become a well-respected one as one of the top periodicals concerning astrology. Here he is back on Coast to Coast, Mark Lerner. Mark, how are you?
Great, George. Nice to be on.
Oh, likewise. I wish it were under better circumstances.
Exactly, yes.
Tell me about astrology. How does it fit into this earthquake?
Well, my take on this, I did put a few things on the front of Earth Aquarius News, the current website. What's happening is there's another whole field of astrology that isn't related to the popular zodiacal signs that everybody's familiar with their sun sign and their birth horoscopes with all the sun, moon, and planets. And that has to do with something that's been a part of astrology for a very long time, centuries, and it's how far up or down, north or south, planets move relative to what we call the celestial equator. And I was listening to your previous guest there. Mm-hmm. It was all fascinating, and this kind of connects up with what Jim was saying about what's going to happen at the full moon coming up and some of these other cycles.
Yeah.
What just happened is, and what is continuing to happen, which is what's really of great concern, there is a bunch of planets, including Uranus, the planet that, in a sense, was discovered 1781 at the time that the American Revolution was successful against Mother England back in 1781. That's when that planet was discovered. And what's happening is every 83¾ years, that planet hits the beginning of our zodiac, which is the zero point. You know, you have a lot of people who talk about zero point energy.
Mm-hmm, sure do.
Well, astrology has actually two zero points, and one is the beginning of the zodiac, and that happens approximately March 20th, which is the beginning of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. But at the same time, it's the meeting point of two great circles around the Earth. One is the ecliptic, which is the sun's apparent pathway in the sky. We know that the Earth is actually orbiting the sun, but since we live on the Earth, it looks like the sun is moving. And what happens is, aside from the ecliptic or zodiacal path, there's the celestial equator. And that's why we have equal day and night at the spring and the fall equinoxes. And what's happening now is this planet, Uranus, it will only hit the zero point in every 84 years. And that happened today. And what was weird was I was on the show with Rob a couple, like 6 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end of the show, he said, we had about 15 seconds left. Mark, do you want to say anything about some prediction? I said, watch March 11, because this planet Uranus is going to hit the zero point energy, starting a new 84-year cycle around the zodiac on March 11, and here we are, March 11.
Here we are. Now, you would think that the planet is way too far away from us to affect us.
This is why people don't understand how astrology really works. All the planets that are out there, and this is the big reason why so many people are disbelievers, and they think, well, why allow the planets that are out there to control your fate? As Carl Jung, the Swiss psychotherapist, would have put it, whatever is born at a moment of time has the qualities of that moment. And so whenever so many people out there in the listening audience have seen charts or horoscopes, even if they don't know their own, they've seen somebody who has a chart with the sun, moon, various planets, and it all looks like hieroglyphics. Nobody tends to understand it all too well unless they're a professional astrologer. But what's happening is that those symbols in the chart are really archetypal forces and energy. So it's not that Saturn, hundreds of millions of miles, or Uranus even further away, is doing something. It's not like sending down a ray or forcing us to fall down a flight of stairs or causing some kind of destruction. It's that there's an archetypal kind of quality or function that exists right here in our auras, our energy fields, in Japan, in America. And so these things that are happening, when an astrologer looks at a chart and tries to analyze where are these things moving, it's not so much that they're so far away, how could they possibly influence us? They're right here with us, because there's the ancient idea, as above, so below. What's true in the macrocosm or the solar system becomes reflected in the human being and within humanity and earthly affairs.
Tell me more about this planetary alignment and its effect on us.
OK, Okay, well, this is. I was listening, and you had Linda also, which was a fantastic little prediction that she had there a while back.
Was.
You mentioned
Absolutely.
That because she was focused right on Japan. I tend to look at these things differently. What I find, and I've done this for 38 plus years now, when we have devastating, gigantic kinds of events like we're witnessing right now, which isn't really over with, I tend to look at several things. Sometimes we ask what I think are the wrong questions. And if you go to kind of the Zen approach to life and astrology, you know how the people who would go to the Zen monasteries, the master would ask the koan the question, like, what is the sound of one hand clapping? You know, that kind of ancient idea of asking a kind of question that doesn't make any sense so that the neophyte would sort of change his or her consciousness by trying to unravel a question that's kind of unanswerable. Well, what I mean to say in all this is very often we ask a question like, what is causing this? Like, is it a planet out there? Like you had a guest who's saying there's another Earth on the other side of the sun, I believe.
Well, not another Earth, but another planet, a planet X, they say.
Planet X, yeah. Or then there's the Nibiru thing. And
yeah.
I'm not saying these are not true. But in astrology, as I've understood it, what I've tried to do is always say to myself, I'm a problem solver, and I can use astrology as a tool to try and help clients, or in this case, like a world situation. How can we problem solve this? And what's happening, there's a ganging up. It's almost as if the planets, they're all clustering around the zero point energy of the zodiac and what we call the equator, which is how we get something called parallels and what are called contraparallels. Nobody really would understand what that means unless you're an astrologer. But what is really happening is planets can have height and depth above or below one of the great circles around the Earth. And that has nothing to do with the zodiac. When people say such and such a planet is in the middle of Taurus, or your sun sign is Gemini, or my sun sign is Pisces, that has to do with sort of where is the sun relative to a certain part of 12 signs going in a certain circle. And then there's another circle, which we call the celestial equator, and we can measure planets that way. And what's happening in Japan, what just occurred, is that there are several planets, including Mercury, the sun, Jupiter, and Saturn, the two largest planets, and Uranus, this outer planet, which is also, for the first time in 84 years, hitting the same point. And that's the planet of shockwaves and kind of cosmic electrical forces that are causing this rippling effect throughout the Earth.
Is that what determines the scope and magnitude of these earthquakes?
Exactly. And the first book I ever read, and this is really fascinating, was called Astrology, the Space Age Science, back in 1972. I just picked it out of a store, was kind of guided. And it was interesting, the author was living not far from where I was back in New York City in those days. This was right after I graduated from Michigan State University in social science, and I was never planning to do astrology at all. It just sort of happened. And this book was fascinating because it completely changed my life. And what it was saying was all the great astronomers, people like Galileo, Copernicus, Sir Isaac Newton in particular, all of these people were kind of closet astrologers, but they didn't want to get the word out because in those days you had all the religious persecutions, and people were being burned at the stake for studying this kind of stuff, like Giordano Bruno was burned at the stake, and he was an astrologer. So the thing was is that it turns out that in this book, he showed, this is back a book in the early 1970s, Astrology, Space Age Science, that planets like Uranus and Neptune far away would be overhead or in strategic positions at certain earthquakes. And he kept showing different earthquakes and showing how these planets were energizing certain points. Now, what I'm saying today is that this is a little bit different. It's not like Neptune was exactly overhead or Uranus was precisely overhead when the earthquake hit, although I have done the chart for the exact moment. What we're getting is something different. We're getting, and this is related to the Mayan energy of next year, and it's related to two shifts. Uranus going from Pisces into Aries for the first time in 84 years, and Neptune is about to go from Aquarius into Pisces, and that's happening on April 4th for several months, and then we get that change for sure in 2012 where Neptune is changing. These outer planets are definitely traditionally connected to earthquake activity, the shocking energies under the waters and under the earth that are making everybody look at these things and say, why is this happening?
So you couple this, Mark, if you would, you couple this with what's happening with solar flares and everything else. Does it all come up to the perfect storm?
It seems like it is. And here's the other thing, too. You know, when The Astronomer came out 6 weeks ago, that was one of the reasons why the call was made. Mark, do you want to try and tackle this question about the two zodiacs and all, you know, the 13th sign, and then all everybody's signs were off by so many days or weeks? And that was I tried to show at that point that that was completely bogus, which it is. And what I'm trying to say now is we can look at the astrology that we actually have. I'm saying we don't necessarily need a Nibiru. We don't necessarily need, and I'm not saying the people are wrong who are believing this. You know, we'll see what happens if things are discovered out there. What I'm saying is that we can understand all of this through the actual planets that exist in our solar system, plus the sun and the whole potency of the sunspot cycle that's getting more and more powerful. There was a book that was created maybe 40, 50 years ago that it had to do with the theory of celestial influence by a British author. And he tried to create the idea that the solar system is way different than we really think of it, because nobody really knows what it might look like if, let's say, we were disincarnate, if we weren't in the flesh, and we could see things from a higher or different sort of focal point, just like our telescopes allow us to see through infrared or see through gamma. You know, the telescopes that are giving us discoveries of planets in other solar systems and other galaxies, we don't actually see those planets, you know, these hundreds of planets that they're talking about. They're being able to be diagnosed by stellar changes in terms of light and frequency. And so we're getting into this unbelievable level, very, very advanced. And the thing here is it feels like the Uranian and Neptunian forces, which are far away in our solar system, they are asking us, it's part of the liberation that we've seen in North Africa and Egypt and Tunisia and recently in Libya. This is all part of what these outer planets are about, that we have to grow up and we have to evolve as a humanity. And if we don't sort of work out these planetary issues and problems, we could be in for these devastations because we're just not living up to a higher calling as a human species.
So, Mark, you get close to dates, but can you predict location?
Okay, well, one can do that, just like Linda. The reason that Linda figured that out was, for whatever reason, something guided her. Like, for instance, I found it remarkable because in the last 24 hours, I was looking at the same chart, what's called Japan's sovereignty chart after World War II. I mean, Japan is an ancient nation. You go back hundreds of BC.
Sure.
So the question is, how can somebody, like, she was using a chart for 1952 on April 28th. Well, somebody said, how could Japan have been born in 1952? It's an ancient nation because it went through kind of a death and rebirth, almost like a person or a soul, you might say, if you believe in reincarnation. Every time you come back and you incarnate, that's your new birth chart. Well, countries, even cities like New York, has changed many times. There are different charts for New York City. Well, the same thing with Japan. She happened to be looking at that chart, and I was looking at it in the last 24 hours, and I could see the connections to what just happened today. She just, I'm not saying she stumbled upon it, but for some reason her intuition had her focus on what places around the world might show this kind of geocosmic activity. She was looking at Japan, then made the prediction and figured it out. What I want to say, George, just so you know here, and this is very important, this is not over in the sense that whatever the ripples are through the Pacific Rim and other, as Jim said earlier in the first hour when he was focused on the full moon of March 19, I have a series of dates. I mean, it's literally as if littered through the rest of March, particularly you get to March 19, which is the full moon, March 20th and 21st, which is the equinox, and on the next day, the sun and Uranus, they come together at the zero point. See, what I'm trying to say is that the zero point of the zodiac is like the zero point that everybody's talking about with free energy or the Tesla forces and this whole dynamo. And so what I'm trying to say is like the Earth is responding as a kind of electromagnetic field to an extremely rare confluence of many planets all sort of joining up together. And we just don't know which way it's going to go over the next, like, 3 or 4 weeks.
Let me ask you about the Mayan calendar date of 2012. What are you seeing then?
Well, I've definitely have the chart for it. I'm using a particular type of sunrise chart, and I'm going to be sharing much more about it through the website and another website that I'm working with. I'm using a kind of power there that I think is going to be extraordinary. But there are these other people, and this is kind of a minority. I don't know if you ever had there's another fellow who believes that we may see kind of big activity this October in 2011. So the date itself, even though that's the main date that people are looking at, George, there are some alternative dates.
Sure. Well, it's a window, isn't it?
It's a window. Exactly. But we're gonna have a big series of things that are going to happen just for people out there to be aware of. There's going to be a new moon April 2nd and 3rd, and then there's going to be this Uranian energy at this other zero point of what we call the celestial equator going from south to north. That happens on April 9, the same day that the outer planet Pluto appears to turn motionless. It's as if over the next 4 to 5 weeks, every couple of days, we're having this confluence. It's almost like the planets are sort of grouping together, and they're making these decisions like, how deep do we want to make this kind of incursion into the Earth so that people wake up and sort of get it, you know, that there is something really profound. As terrible as all this is, one of the things that this reminds us is the Earth is alive, that we have all these fires in the center of the Earth. You know, I mean, geologists are still trying to figure out what is at the center of the Earth. We don't even know all the things that are going on down there.
Oh, no, it's deeply alive. But tell me this, is there anything about astrology that is enlightening? Is there anything out there, Mark, that tells you things are good? Because we talk about catastrophes and doom and gloom.
Well, I'm always, look, Jupiter, Venus, for instance, those planets, we can track individuals and we can track groups. We can track nations like America, China, and each of these planetary energies, every day there are positive alignments that are going on that can help people. For instance, people are always contacting me, what are the changes, say, in Venus, where it shifts from being a morning star to an evening star every 9.5 months, and right now, We're in a morning star factor, which is part of the reason why the stock market has stayed high. And then we're going to shift into 9.5 months where the stock market starting in August of this year will shift into a bearish thing. If you know the movements of these things, then people can earn money. They don't always have to sit on the sidelines. And so astrology can easily be used for those purposes. We're going to have Mercury retrograde, for instance, March 30th to April 23rd.
What's that mean?
Well, you know, I mean, the whole thing about people get scared. Mercury is going to go retrograde, which happens 3 times a year for about 3 weeks. And then people can, well, it's not as if it's a negative time, but people don't have to make the most crucial signings. They can wait a couple of weeks if they can postpone things and then wait for a better time. So astrology we can watch what the cycles are, and then literally every day there are several times if one is watching the heavens and watching the what are called these alignments like trines or sextiles, which are the more flowing either triangular or hexagonal type relationships, which are based on Pythagorean numerology, and we can find every single day good positive energies to make decisions, to work with particular planets. Just as we're trying to avoid the challenges, it's almost like not stepping in the puddles, you know, and staying dry.
Well, all right. Well, stay with us, Mark. We're going to take phone calls with you when we come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Mark's website, earthaquariusnews.com. He's also an accomplished astrological author, inner child cards, and baseball tarot as well. Mark Lerner, our special guest this hour on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, we will begin our open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Of course, you can talk about the tsunami, the earthquake, but it is open lines, so just about anything goes. If you need to email me, george@coasttocoastam.com, and make sure you always go up to that website and take a look at all the new features, including, of course, our Coast to Coast video reel on coasttocoastam.com. Mark, did it take you a long time to perfect your skills as an astrologer?
Well, it happened right after Michigan State. I was looking to figure out what to do, kind of graduate work, and I stumbled in. I found that first book, Astrology, the Space Age Science, started adding to it, and pretty much created a kind of one-year, very intense graduate program. I just kept reading and reading and studying and memorizing, and I had particular mentors and their books. In those days, in 1972, it wasn't as if we had as many authors as we have now, but it was a fantastic period until I tried to know it backwards and forwards, and I had to learn different learning techniques to make myself do it, but it was a fantastic opportunity. long time ago now. It's almost 40 years.
Some have said that astrologers are off because of the pole shift. What do you think about that?
That was the thing I was mentioning before. It's kind of a bogus thing. It comes up in astrology, George, every 20 or 30 years. What happens is somebody who's an astronomer starts seeing that there are these constellations, and the constellations, which is not what we're using anymore. We haven't used them in Western astrology for 2,000 years. But in India, they still work with the constellations, the actual star groups. And so there's two kind of astrologies out there. One is considered connected to the constellations. But the constellations, you know, are not equal in size. It's not as if there's exactly 30 degrees of space in, say, the constellation of Virgo, of those stars that seem to represent the Virgin or the scales or whatever it is. So those are not equal. But Western astrology works. It's very exact. And what we're doing is we're dividing the year, starting at the first moment of spring, into 30-degree groups, and it's basically geometry. It's just applied geometry, and then we simply have 12 divisions. The confusion, George, is that what we use in Western astrology is that the same names, Aries, Taurus, Gemini, are the same names for what we call the signs as the ancient names for the constellations, and that's where everything gets goofed up, because there's two different kind of zodiacal concepts out there.
Okay, let's go back to the calls now. Let's go to Biloxi, Mississippi. Michael, first-time caller. Michael, you're on with Mark Lerner.
Hi, how y'all doing, fellas?
Good.
I've got a two-part question, actually. The first is, you had briefly touched on the Mayan calendar and how it links up with the events that are transpiring. I was under the impression that the Mayan calendar marks the end of a galactic cycle. And I might have my number wrong, but I think it's 23,000 years it goes through this galactic cycle. And in that same window, that the center of our solar system will be in direct cosmic alignment with the center of the Milky Way galaxy or the galactic rift. There's been a lot of speculation that it will disrupt dark matter and cause, you know, gravitational field fluctuations. I was wondering if you could touch on the effects of those two cosmic events happening, and also me living here in Biloxi, Mississippi, with the amount of seismic activity that has been going on, and with the predictions of much more and increasing seismic activity going on, what would be the best place for me to go to be safe? And, you know, I'm actually looking at the Biloxi Lighthouse. I work on the beach, and you know, if there were some sort of seismic activity that happened here, you know, knowing what the signs are, would I have time to get to a safe place, or if it happened, it would be too late?
Well, okay, you've got a whole bunch of questions in
many
there.
Many there.
There's the Mayan long count, which is about a 5,000-plus-year cycle, that's what's ending. And another one potentially beginning for those people who believe, like I do, rather than the end of the world, that we're simply ending a long cycle of 5,000 plus years. It's just that the Mayans as a civilization are no longer here. I mean, there are Mayan ancestors, but they're in different places on the planet, and many of them are writing these materials and appearing at conferences and so on, and other people who are trying to interpret it. But we're at an end of a 5,000 plus year cycle in 2011, 2012. There's a 26,000 year cycle that has to do with the pole of the Earth pointing to different pole stars, and that is actually what generates the Earth as a spinning top, the 12-fold division of the ages, for instance, that we're nearing the beginning of the age of Aquarius and ending the age of Pisces, and those are 2,160-year subcycles, and if you multiply 12 times 2160, you get around this 26,000 great year of the Earth spinning on as a top, where our pole points different pole stars. And we still haven't pointed exactly toward Polaris, one of the brighter stars on that 26,000-year cycle. So, George, and to the person who's calling, one of the things that is forgotten, remember the previous person, George, who was talking, you were talking to him about pole shift?
Mm-hmm.
Now, pole shift is this whole thing of which would be really terrible on the Earth, where the poles are flipping, or, you know, the Earth is doing some kind of major thing, which is the kind of stuff are scary. It's when you read about mammoths being frozen and moved, you know, thousands of miles and things like that during another ice age, those kind of things. But the other thing is the Earth's natural 26,000-year pole pointing toward different stars, almost as if each star is a kind of cosmic teacher. And we still haven't actually connected to Polaris, the North Star. And that's still going to happen in maybe the next 40, 50, 60 years. So that's another version of the idea that's, to me, more positive, that we're in for an enlightenment after we get through a lot of this turbulent kind of stuff happening on the Earth with quakes and tsunamis and things like that.
And, you know, and he also wanted to know, can he move anywhere that's safe? And what do you do? You can't run all over the place.
No, you know, I wish I could give him an answer. And you too, George, of course. But the thing is, look, you know, anyone who's living on the coast of Japan, I mean, after everything that's happened, even people in California, I'm living in Oregon. I'm not right on the coast. But, you know, people often want to live a kind of risky life. And it's, you know, they think, well, if I'm going to go like in ancient Atlantis or something, well, I want to be part of that scene. I mean, I think that's part of the subconscious of a lot of people who refuse to, you know, leave certain places. They just want to be a part. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. If it doesn't, then they gave it a try, that they were going to be part of the whole, you know, kind of big apocalyptic scene. You see?
We're going to Crooks Drawn, Minnesota, east of the Rockies. Louis with us. Hey, Louis, go ahead.
Hey, I was watching a video on YouTube that was posted just after the earthquake in Chile last year, and she had made reference to the alignment with the Earth with Comet Ellen. And in that video, she projected where the next alignment would be, and it was between March 11th and March 23rd of this year, and now there was another big earthquake.
Huh.
The correlation with the alignment with the comet, with the Earth, having to do with any of this?
Heard of that particular cometary thing, but, you know, we have these comets that come back in different regularities. And so, for instance, I'm looking, people have heard about Chiron, which is it's actually a comet-like planet that is now incorporated in our charts.
Right.
And for instance, one of the charts that I've worked with for 30-plus years is when the planet Uranus was discovered. And it's very interesting because that happened. The 230th anniversary of the discovery of the planet Uranus happens this Sunday, March 13th. So it originally happened 1781, the same year that America defeated the British in the American Revolution. And that's the reason why this planet Uranus rules over things like revolution, because the first political, successful, shocking revolution, I mean, who would have predicted, George, in 1776, that the ragtag group of colonialists were actually going to defeat the British Empire. Nobody imagined it would happen. And then before you knew it, you had the French Revolution hit 8 years later. And then you had Latin American revolutions in the early 1800s and so on and so forth. So this planet that we're talking about that's so powerful, not to say that the comet that he's talking about doesn't have an issue. It turns out that Chiron energy was conjunct the moon's orbit at the discovery of this planet in 1781. And then years later, when we actually discovered Chiron, it was exactly back to the same place in the sky when the planet Uranus was discovered. In other words, we find these synchronicities all the time. In his case, the person just called, it's a comet that appeared at the Chilean earthquake, and now the person who researched it found that the comet is reappearing. And so people will find their various celestial signatures. There's a lot of them out there, and it's not as if we're just having one of them. We're having many of them.
Let's go to the Bronx, New York now. Mike, you're with us on Coast to Coast. Thanks, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I'd like to ask Mark, what is the societal significance of the planet Neptune going into Pisces? I know every 14 years or so it changes, goes into a different sign. So what is going to happen in our society by Neptune going into Pisces?
Well, this is very important. You just brought up a very interesting thing. On April 4th, we get a window. From April 4th this year to August 4th, Neptune will have a brief little foray into Pisces. And then when we hit February 3rd of 2012, and this is interesting, George, with the Mayan calendar, Neptune will be in Pisces then for a 14-year cycle. Neptune literally far out and figuratively far out. It's very far away, but it also rules over dreams and visions and mass movements and mass consciousness. It has a lot to do with the collective monetary issues on our planet. So Neptune hitting Pisces, when Neptune was discovered back in 1846 and astrologers started looking at it, it seemed like it represented water, and certainly was named after the god of the seas and the ocean. So it has a lot to do with everything that's oceanic. I mean, again, Neptune is a planet that has a lot to do with earthquakes that often begin underwater. You know, we call them earthquakes, but half the time, if not more, they're under the seas. That's where they're happening. So Neptune has always been associated with actual earthquakes. We could be seeing more devastation in the waters around the world as Neptune is in Pisces. I mean, that's one of the things. Well, I want to mention one other comment before we go on to the next caller and make it real brief. We are about to have, at the spring equinox, March 20th, and then the next day, March 21, a very rare thing. It's that we're going to begin the season of spring in the northern hemisphere, and the entire 12-month zodiacal cycle that starts at spring with the sun with this planet Uranus at the zero point, this whole thing that you talk about with almost all the different authors all the time about energy changes and electromagnetism, how can we sort of tap into these kind of higher powers and advance human consciousness? What I'm saying is there is an astrology that's happening now with this planet. It can only be in this position every 84 years. And the previous time it was exact was back 335 years ago in 1676, 100 years before the Declaration of Independence, we had a springtime when the same thing that is about to happen happened then. And that was during the life of Sir Isaac Newton, who revolutionized science. And so we are about to have all these liberations and incredible changes, I think, for the good. Over the next year, I mean, discoveries, inventions, all kinds of people with new patents and new ideas and new ways of looking at things.
How far out, Mark, do you look astrologically? Do you look out 50 years, 100 years?
You know, it makes me laugh to think about that because I never know, George, from one day to the next. I'm born with Aquarius as my rising sign, and the planet we're talking about, or I'm talking about a lot today, the Uranian planet, is the ruling planet of my chart. It has an 84-year cycle. You won't remember this, but back in 2005, when the first time we were ever talked together, I mentioned to you that get this, for everybody listening, this is one of the most amazing synchronicities. Sir William Herschel, the man who discovered that planet Uranus on March 13, 1781, he lived 83 3/4 years, which is the exact orbit of the planet Uranus. It takes 83 3/4 years to orbit completely around the sun. And the man who discovered the planet lived an archetypal Uranian life. I mean, what are the odds of that? Why would the person who discovered that planet live exactly one orbit of that planet and then die? Could do what he needed to do, and then we have the results after. So I look at things very long term, and I also have to do things every day. I mean, I work with lunar cycles that are shifting hour by hour, so I have to do the very small to the very long.
All right, let's go west of the Rockies, JR, Soap Lake, Washington. You're on with us on Coast to Coast. Go ahead, JR.
Hey, I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I was wondering about the zero point, if the Earth goes through that, in its cycle or anything.
Yeah, see, what happens in astrology, we're always referring to the sun and we always forget about the Earth. If you ever, any of the listeners, if you ever have a chart that you're looking at, the Earth is really at the center of the chart, and then the sun, the moon, the planets, asteroids, whatever you see that you may not understand the symbols, but the things in the circle, in what we call the houses, the Earth is at the center. And what happens is every year, for instance, on March 20th and 21st, what happens is that the sun appears in the sky to cross from the south of the celestial equator to go north until we hit the summer when the sun is at its highest peak and we have the warm days in the northern hemisphere, because the sun appears to be moving further and further north over that cycle of 3 months until we get to summertime. But it's right at the equinox that we have, in a sense, the Earth, sun are at a kind of sacred turning point. And so we call it the sun, but it's really the Earth that's being empowered or connected back from all the solar energy, which gets back to what you're talking about, George. All the high sunspot cycles, everything that we're perceiving, that could happen over the next year or two with the Mayan calendars, like solar flares and all these other, you know, concentrated energies.
Well, there's no doubt. No doubt we are going through some incredible times right now, Mark. Let's go to Daytona Beach, Florida. Connie, you're up with us. Let's see if we can squeeze you in. Go ahead. Connie, you still with us? Well, Connie is gone in Daytona Beach. Goodbye. Let's go to Carla, though, in Indiana, east of the Rockies. Go ahead, Carla.
Hey, George, this is my first time call, and I was just wondering, with the earthquakes and stuff like that that they're predicting, say, with the New Madrid fault line, what kind of damage would possibly be facing in Indiana, by any chance, up around, say, Indianapolis and, say, Evansville?
Well, all I know is that the New Madrid fault will touch a little bit of that. It doesn't go way up there, but you're going to feel it. If it's a huge earthquake of anything close to the significance of what hit Japan, and I don't think we'll get a 9-1. I hope to God we won't, but even if it's a 7, you're going to feel it up there. There's no doubt. Mark?
I mean, you know, people have been talking about what could happen in that whole area, which hasn't. When was the last one? The 1818? What was the big quake there?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Yellowstone. Everybody's fearing, you know, I mean, it could be in terms of hundreds of thousands of years, you know, if anything ever hit around Yellowstone. And then also we've got the off the coast of Oregon and Washington. Jim was mentioning the year 1700. It was really fascinating earlier in the night when I was thinking of different, you know, past centuries of when things happen. And then all the people on the show tonight are talking about, we're almost like we're all in sync in the last 2 hours, talking about the same kind of historical things, but having different perspectives of how we look at it.
No doubt, Mark. Thank you so much for being on the program. Mark Lerner, astrologer. His website, earthaquariusnews.com. It's always linked up to coasttocoastam.com. By the way, don't forget, up there at the top of the page on our homepage, you'll get our Facebook and our Twitter links as well. So make sure you click that and you become a friend of ours. It's very easy to do that. When I come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM now, 2 hours of open lines for you. We'll open up a special hotline as well. So get ready to go. I've got a great story to tell you from Carolina, from Michael out there in North Carolina. It's an incredible story. I'll be back with that in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.